Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Welcome to the after show for God Friended Me, Season 1, Episode 16, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. So we're talking friends or lovers, Kara and Miles, Zolfo and Sons, and daughter, and Henry gets blocked. All that plus our special segment, God Speaks. Let's do this.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the after show for God Friended Me. We're so excited to be here. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and I couldn't do it without my crew.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina Wahab.
And I am Rochelle Pollard.
Yes, so here we are on a lovely Sunday. We just watched God Friended Me, as did you. I know you guys just watched, and we have so much to talk about. So we've got this whole friends or lovers thing going on with Kara and Miles. We're going to figure this one out. Then we have Zolfo and Sons and daughter. And then Henry finally gets blocked out of the system. And we also have to talk about this dinner without dad, Arthur Finer, and what's going on. Plus, we have our special segment, God Speaks, where God speaks to us through social media. And we're going to share those quotes with you, along with some fan shout-outs. So before we get this party all the way started, what do we think about this episode as a whole? Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
I enjoyed it. I liked the father-daughter dynamic at the Italian restaurant. I liked the father-daughter dynamic with Finer and his daughter, Allie. And I kind of, even though it was really cringeworthy, I really liked seeing the dynamic between Miles and Kara play out. Because I've gone back and forth this whole
cringe-worthy
season.
I'm surprised I'm hearing you say that.
Like, this whole season, I'm like, oh, he needs to get with Kara. Then I see the DJ. I'm like, oh, he needs to get with the DJ. Then it doesn't work out. Then I'm like, he needs to get with Kara. And then I'm like, I don't know how I feel. And then I'm like, I really want it to work, though. Let's give this a chance. It doesn't always work right away.
Okay.
But at the end, we got exactly what I wanted.
So. Okay. Rochelle, what do you think about this episode?
She said she got exactly what she wants it. Okay. You know, I'm not going to say I'm team who and who, but it was very cringeworthy watching Kara and Miles do their thing. And I think maybe it's like a little sadness in me because it's just like, it's something that you thought would have been something in like season 3 or 4 or 5. So I didn't expect them to do that today, which means kissing, but I'm here for the ride. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. I definitely liked how you said the father-daughter dynamics and just how love always prevails in one way or another, even the way, you know, the father came and supported his child and all those things. So let's jump into some of these topics. And we decided to start with Kara and Miles because there's no way we could get through any of this other stuff without addressing this. So friends or lovers here. We know last week, Miles finally asks Kara on a date. She shows up looking banging in her red dress.
As usual.
She's such a beautiful woman, so, you know. And so now we open the scene and they finally get on this date. And it was very awkward. What do we think about the date itself and how they tried to ease into, you know, where are we going? What are we doing? What's going on? How did the date make you feel?
Like, they talked about how they've always had the God account as a buffer to not make things awkward, which I don't think without the God account, they're necessarily awkward. I just think that sometimes you put so much pressure on something because of your expectations that you can't act like yourself. And I think if something becomes a thing, then it's harder to enjoy than if you were to just be, like, chill and in your natural element. And I think because it's, like, this whole thing and because there's been this whole buildup, they can't just, like, act the way they normally would because they feel like they have to fulfill a certain role. I totally get that because it's kind of like if something is unspoken and you know there's always been chemistry or there's always been something, it's hard to shift the dynamic when you're so used to something being a certain way and when you're not letting it naturally evolve or you're making it a thing. Like, oh, like, this is a thing now. You know what I mean? It just makes it too proper, too official, instead of just letting it flow. So I get why it was like that. I don't think they don't have chemistry. I just think, like, it's the first time they've given it a chance, and it's so awkward, and they're putting too much pressure on themselves to get the result that they want, instead of just exploring it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they should have did something like a icebreaker or something. It just was really awkward. And they were just so happy for a scapegoat, as in the friend account. And they were like, oh, well, we'll be irresponsible. Like, no, this is not, today is not about the friend account. Today, today is about me learning you and you learning me. So they should have came up with like 5 questions each that, you know, just to learn each other, something besides the God friend account. So it was really awkward to watch. I'm sure it was awkward for them. But I feel like they needed some type of icebreaker. They were acting really weird. And it's just like, I can't act weird. I'm just going to be like, yo, what's up? Like, what we doing?
Yeah.
I need some type of jokes or something. Or I don't know. Maybe we should leave here, since it's going to be a distraction from us learning each other and having a good time, because we're here.
You know, it's funny because I feel like they always learn about each other through the God account, because the God account will create situations in which Miles is having conflict with his dad or Kara is having conflict with her mom, like in that first episode. And then Miles is the person who will listen and be like, it's okay, like, I got you, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And then Kara does the same, where she kind of, like, puts her opinion into it and gives him her honest advice instead of just trying to be nice or sugarcoat things. I feel like she's a really good friend. And I genuinely think that the best relationships come out of solid friendships, because you have to have that comfort. And the reason why the date didn't work is not because they're not good friends. It's because they didn't have that level of comfort, because they were trying to make it something that it wasn't.
Like a romance.
I mean, then what about, you know, Miles? You still have to be a gentleman. Why didn't he have that place picked out and ready to go, reservations? And why are we just barely figuring it out where we want to eat? You asked me on a date. No, but you asked me on a date.
He did. He actually did have a place. He did have a place picked out. He had the tapas place picked out.
And she had just eaten there.
I just went there. Is he really supposed to have a plan B if she says no?
Yeah,
I think he mentioned it
like that.
Yeah, I think he mentioned it. I thought he mentioned it as an option. It just seemed like he didn't really have that part together, which probably could have made easy. But I guess, you know, the awkwardness, that makes sense. The God account can't always be a buffer, though. So I do definitely agree that having the God account, it definitely reveals a lot, because it allows them to go through things together. However, I just think, like, if they were to bump into each other on the street, would they have ever had any chemistry or any moments or anything, you know what I mean, without having the depths and the layers of the God account?
Yeah.
I mean, but I understand. Okay, so we get the icebreaker. Thank you, God, for sending Zolfo and Sons, which is the Italian restaurant that they ended up at, which was great because it did allow them to usher them into more of their element. So now they're meeting Tony, the dad, Sophia. They're eating these great bites. This was a great little scene and setup, and I wasn't really sure what was going to go on when we first saw the restaurant, but what did you guys think about that unfolding and them choosing to go to Zolfo and Sons and kind of start working on the God account during their date?
But that's what I'm saying, and it was so weird. I feel like you got to put business away from pleasure. It's time for you guys. This is your date. That's why everybody said it about like 3 different times. The sister said it, Rakesh said it,
right?
Dad said it. Everybody was just like, aren't you guys supposed to be on a date? You know, like, not working. Like, you guys are on a date.
It's a relief, though.
I think it was escape.
It's kind of like training wheels. Like, they weren't ready to fully take the training wheels off, so they took it off and it was super wobbly, and then they're like, we need the training wheels again. So they put it back on and it was good.
What a good metaphor. But like,
yeah,
they don't really need the training wheels anymore. They had that magical kiss at the end, and I was like, yes. Even though I was like, no. Like,
real,
he's mine.
Yes, he's mine.
Seriously, though.
Sorry, Nina.
She's just acting.
Okay, yeah, so we love it. So they did the date. They did the work thing. I totally understand. Then they decided to be friends. I felt really good about that. I was like, you know what? Maybe we got to see a little bit of, they tried and maybe it didn't work, because I really like their dynamic as friends. They make a great team. They are great friends. And I don't think everybody that's friends that might have an inkling of a moment of infatuation should hook up. Sometimes hooking up ruins things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I liked when they were like friends, right? Friends. They established the relationship. They're like, you know, Kara said it so beautifully, like, my life has been great since, like, I'm so happy you came into my life. I wouldn't even change any of that. Friends, great deal. What did we think about that conversation? Were we happy there?
I was scared when she first started off saying, like, oh, maybe we missed the window, but I'm okay with it. I would have been like, excuse me? Yeah. You excited that you missed this window? But when she did explain it like that my life has been great since she's been in there, I feel like it was a slap but a hug at the same time. And I thought that was really well said. Mm-hmm. So she probably just didn't want to miss a good thing. Mm-hmm. But they kissed. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of lust in that kiss. A lot of
love. That is not how you kiss on a first kiss. That's like how you kiss.
I thought they were just going to do like a little
fourth date.
They cut the episode short. It was more to that night.
It was such a sexual kiss.
It was so.
It was very, my very sensual.
Are you a girl? They kiss. You know, you want to kiss and be like, haha.
Like,
they kissed and did it three times.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I didn't see no booty grabbing, but the camera wasn't working.
Do you guys think that, like, I guess my question is, you know, they were talking about missing a window and, oh, we missed the window. Do you think that if something is meant to be, that the timing won't matter, that it will always, you will always have that chemistry or that spark no matter what time or period it is? Like if it's 2 weeks ago versus a month ago.
I definitely think you can miss windows.
Yeah, things happen. It could be the right person, but the wrong time. Mm-hmm. Like, before I started, because before I started dating for real, I was this hopeless romantic, and then you start getting your heart breaking. You like, I ain't messing with you, and then it changed your perspective on things, and you move a little differently. I definitely think you can have the right person at the wrong time. Unfortunately,
even if it's the one, you think that
I don't know about the one. We had this conversation last time.
You're in a happy, like you're in a happy committed thing right now.
I'm not.
Oh, see, okay,
no, never.
Happily single last month. Like
it was actually 3 months ago, but it's okay. time flies when you're having fun.
Oh my gosh! Sorry.
Wow, same 3 months. New Year's, I like knocked it out.
It was just right before Christmas. It was like, oh, not gonna work. Sorry. It's not gonna work. So I definitely think you can lose your window of opportunity. Like even studying the faith and, you know, being a believer in God and all these things, like we're taught to be intuitive and open and in the word and in prayer and all of these things so that we can meet up with the opportunities when they come. And I definitely think we can miss them. Mm-hmm. And then that might just be it. And that's kind of what sucks about things, but it's also great. Like, you know, back to when we were talking about soulmates, like, I think it's great, but I don't think we don't think there's just one. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of different ways and times that things cross and collide and crash with each other. Yeah. And you either get it or you don't. Yeah. Sometimes you do, sometimes you
just
don't.
Just go for it when you're ready.
Yeah.
And it's out your hand. At least you said you tried.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But who knows what's going to happen. And we're at the age that we're over, 21? So people having babies, people getting married, people moving intentionally. Maybe getting where you fit in. Don't be waiting.
Yeah, it's just, you just never time. Know. Yeah, you could definitely miss the window.
I feel like I have two angels on my shoulder right now. Like, giving me advice. Thank you.
That's good. At least you say the devil.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. So, the kiss. Yeah, I was happy when they were going to be friends. The kiss, you guys both said it was cringeworthy. What made it so cringeable?
Oh, the kiss?
Yeah.
The kiss at the end?
Miles and Kara's kiss.
Oh, no. At the end. Oh, no. I meant that their dynamic was cringeworthy, not the kiss. I meant, in general, like, the first date was super cringeworthy.
Okay, got it.
It was so uncomfortable. The kiss was magical. That was, like, an intense... It was a lot, but I thought the kiss was, like, really good. I was like... Like
you was lost in the sauce.
Yes,
she was imagining that she was Karen.
That's the thing.
It was a good.
Wait, she's blushing. Let's not do that to her.
Yeah. It was a good kiss. That's all I'm gonna say.
I could have did without the kiss. I'm just saying. Same. I have to admit that I did not want to see Miles and Kara hook up, and that's just me. I didn't write the show, but you know, just having the opinion. I just think they're good as friends, and I don't know. I don't know. I just. It made me. It was almost like brother and sister or something. I don't know. I just couldn't get with it. I don't know what it was. I wasn't really feeling
it. I mean,
it.
I'm not going to say brother and sister. I'm not going to play them like that. But
I know.
But I feel right. You. And it's just not something that I'm prepared to see. Like I said, I would want to see something like that in season 3 or season 4. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's just like everything is just opening. Like, especially if we find out who's behind the Godfriend account in season 1. It's just like, what are we going to look forward to in season 2 or season 3? Yeah. I think that was my main thing. I can care less what they do. But it's just like all those main big factors. Like, like, oh, like what Rakesh is going to do. Boom, season one, he already upgraded to working with Simon Hayes. We found out who Simon Hayes is, like who's behind the front right. of Kelly. It's so much happening in just season one. Right. And it makes me scared of what's going to happen. Like, are we going to have a season two? What's going to happen season three? Like, you guys are giving us everything. So that I think that's right. why with the kids, I'm like, dang, I didn't expect that. Because... Mm-hmm. You know, are y'all going to, if they don't work out, that's going to be weird for them to continue because Kara is clearly, she's just not one episode. She's the whole season. She's right. the main character. That's, so yes. that's going to be weird if it doesn't work out with them. How yes. are they going to move forward? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it's just more me scared about the future of the show than me being weirded out by the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things.
Unless they show it as like a separate lives thing later on where like she's not really in Miles' life and he's not in hers, but they have their own thing.
Yeah, but then, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's a good point, you know. Yeah, where does the show go from here, basically? Yeah. And it's like, are they going to stay together? Is just this going to become about couples everywhere? Miles yeah. and Kara, Rakesh and Jaya. Like, yeah. I don't know if I, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the mood. And that's what kind of made, I'm just like, ah. And that's why so I say brother and sister, because the dynamic that they had was just, it made sense and it was more open and flowing and available for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like a couple of couples and we're, I don't know.
All a happy big family.
Yeah. You know, we'll see. We'll
I feel
see.
Like out of all the couples, Jaya and Rakesh will last the longest.
Absolutely. They are so legit. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Their foundation is
like,
great.
Like if yeah. they lasted like long distance.
Like we'll see them get married on the show, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Indian wedding.
Wouldn't that be so great?
That'd be fun.
Bollywood style.
Invite us.
Okay. Yes. Okay, great. Now that we had to definitely get that out of our system. But before we move on to our next topic, I know, Mina, you had a little something you wanted to share with the people.
Yes. We just wanted to thank you guys for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could definitely use your help, you guys. So make sure to subscribe on YouTube right now. Subscribe if you're watching on there. And give us a rating on iTunes. 5 stars. And leave us a comment. Let us know how we're doing, what you like about the show, what you would like to see more of on the show. Any feedback you have that's constructive is super, super appreciated. And, you know, being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to me because, you know, this is the place where we all get together, talk about TV.
Free
therapy. And then we also have, like, genuine friendships where we yeah. can talk about this stuff, like, in the studio. And, you know, we actually have in-depth conversations behind the scenes where we stay like an hour after the show to sometimes talk about life and relationships and love and everything. So that's what I love about this panel specifically, is you girls are awesome, and Francelli. And yeah, thank you so much for supporting us in doing what we love, because we love hosting.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And yes, you guys, please stick around to the end, because we have our special segment where we're going to talk about where God friended us throughout the week. And we also have some fan shout outs for you guys, because you be lit on Twitter and we love reading it. So we're going to share some of that stuff. So now let's talk about our second topic here, Zolfo and Sons. And, you know, I guess Sonny Zolfo is a son, but he has a daughter, Sophia. And there was a lot going on in this. So first thing, do you guys, if you were in Sophia's shoes, would you have felt it necessary to hide your restaurant from your dad completely?
Yeah. 100% I would feel like I would have to do it.
No and yes. Yeah, no, why only, do you say yes?
The only reason is because if you have a father who's so overbearing that you feel like he's so stubborn and stuck in his ways and he's not going to approve, and you feel like you've tried everything with him, like, hey, dad, look at this new dish I've made. Hey, dad, look at this. Hey, dad, look at that. And it's constantly rejection after rejection after rejection. Sometimes I feel like fathers can be very stubborn and think this is the way it is. And a lot of people have this mindset that tradition is tradition, and we just do things not because it's necessarily the most logical way to do things, because, oh, this is how things have always been done. So when you have that mentality, yeah, there's something really beautiful about tradition and keeping something that's like historical or sentimental or nostalgic going on and on and on. But if you don't have like that mindset of adaptability, of enhancing something or making it better or making it so that it adjusts to the times, then you're gonna lose an audience eventually, because people want to see more. People don't want the same thing over and over again. So I totally get where she's coming from. If I had that dynamic with my dad, I'd keep it a secret until I knew for sure that I'm successful, and then I can be like, look, dad, what up? I did this. I love you, but I had to do it on my own first. I get it.
Okay. What about you, Rochelle? Because you were like, nah.
I mean, I say not from personal experiences. I can't, like, you know, hide anything from my parents or my sister. So it's, I love having the support of them and being able to, you know, move and have them a part of that journey with me. Mm-hmm. But definitely, as she was explaining, I agree with her more that definitely in her situation, you know, every time they try something new, she gets scolded. And ultimately, she always had a great attitude and personality. When they, even when they said whatever they said, she continued to search, I mean, and continued to pursue her dreams. But it was necessary for her. It was necessary for her. And yeah, it worked out. So
right. I do agree it was necessary for her, even though I guess the only thing that made me question if it was necessary to go that far is that her dad was so loving and open once he, you know, found things out. So I'm like, was it really that hard to talk to him? Right. But maybe so, because he did admit that he was just treating her like the little girl on the step stool. And, you know, it was what was a little bit heartbreaking is that this is supposed to be a family business, and he couldn't see her as a chef, so he hired some guy, Tony. Yeah. Who's Tony? Yeah. And what is this guy doing? Like, he was a terrible person. What do we think about Tony and what he did and his, you know, position in all of this?
I think the first glance we ever got of him on the show was...
him snitching.
Was when... No, not even him
when
snitching.
When he was
we
talking
actually,
about her new food.
Yeah, we actually saw him snitching. Before that when he was like, oh, are you... He's like peering over her shoulder like, oh, what did we say about...
your new experiments.
In front of customers.
Items, right? Which is like so rude.
Tacky.
First of all, like, you're not running this ship. Like, stay in your lane. And that's the only reason why it's harder for me to empathize with what he did, even though I did play devil's advocate where I was like, oh, maybe he was looking out for the best interest of the restaurant. But it doesn't make sense for him to scold her about having a new menu item when that doesn't affect the success of the business whatsoever.
Well, he was the head chef, so he had the authority to say that to a sous chef.
I mean, he did, but I just feel like... See, that's the thing that's so complicated about mixing family with business, because she probably feels like, why is this guy talking
exactly.
to me like this when this is my dad's business? Like,
yeah.
Hello. Like, I should have had your position. So there's a little bit of, like, bitterness and saltiness there. I don't know. I didn't like him,
yeah,
obviously.
I thought it was definitely tacky.
But I still like him more than I like Simon Hayes. Can we just say
oh
that?
Oh, my gosh. Interesting.
I still like him more than Simon
dun, dun, dun. Okay. Yeah, we had a little side discussion about Simon because he's just, I don't know. We'll talk about him.
Literally from the first 3 minutes, she was just like, something sneaky. I'm like, what? How did you even sense that? It's just Simon. But just finishing off with that, basically, yeah. Any manager that scolds me in front of an audience or anything like that, I feel it's unprofessional.
Yep.
I think it's a time and a place for everything. It's totally fine that you could disagree with that, but I feel that's very disrespectful as an adult, you know, to scold me or discipline me in front of someone. All you have to do is let them know they were happy, they were excited about the food, they were not complaining or anything like that, and it was a great recipe. But he could have pulled her to the side or talked to her or talked to her father to talk to her.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's not something that we plan on doing in the future. So, you know, I'm awesome, I'm happy that you're, you know, coming up with new stuff. Maybe you could talk to your father about that, about adding it to him. But when I'm on shift, I will feel more comfortable with you not doing things like that just for liability reasoning or whatever, you know, just something like that. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And you doing that right in front of the customer, I thought that was really yucky. So no kudos for you.
Right. And I'd have to agree. And it was just, you know, the sabotage going out of the way. I mean, we talked about it. I just thought I wouldn't like anybody like that on my team at all. Like, I get it. Oh, do you know how talented she is? If she opens up right down the street, it's going to cripple our business. I was trying to help. Like, Tony, that mindset, that don't work. Because if you're going to sabotage my daughter, eventually you're going to find some way or reason to sabotage me. Because you got your own little mind going on. You're not a team player. You're not family oriented. This is not how we roll. So that's why I'm so glad that Papa Zolfo was just like, you're fired immediately. He wasn't thinking about who's going to cook. Oh, I don't have my daughter to cook or him to cook. Like, you just got to go because I don't roll like that.
Period.
So that was amazing of him, because one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch.
Listen.
So Tony had to get out.
Period.
Done and done.
You are bad.
But I do love, you know, and so the liquor licensing, I was kind of laughing how one of the investors sat up there and ate that whole meal knowing doggone well he wasn't going to invest in the liquor license. But he sure did come through and eat that good food.
And about the gas leak.
Yeah.
It would have been more entertaining if you were just like eating, like, we can't do it, but this is delicious.
Yeah, it's dessert on the way. Like, jerk. But one thing I did, what I did like about her father saying is that he did seem very caring when he was like, oh my God, but there's things about the restaurant business that you don't know. And that's where I found she could have found value in talking to her dad about the business. Like, yeah, you could be a great chef, but running a business really is a totally, that staff, licensing, gas leaks, as we found, you know, all of these things going on. So I think she, now that they're doing it together, I think she can learn from him.
And she will.
And she will. So I'm glad that door's open. Happy, speaking of doors open, that she's going to open her doors. Now she has family support. Done and done. It's a good look. Are we happy with this subject? Did I miss anything on that?
You killed that, okay?
Yeah, we did that, right? Sophia, we got it. Boom.
Yes.
So let's jump into our third topic. And we made this a dual topic because they were smaller, you know, little subplots. But Henry gets blocked. Rakesh goes on this whole... So Simon Hayes knows that Rakesh is the only one that can go toe-to-toe with Henry Chase. Simon feels like, well, he knows that Henry is trying to hack in. He said he's not doing anything. He's just looking around, but he doesn't want him in there. So he puts Rakesh on the job, and Rakesh gets it done. He shuts him down, shuts him out. But in order to do that, Rakesh requests all access. What do we think about Rakesh and how he was able to kind of block Henry Chase from whatever he's doing?
I think the previews from last week were super misleading.
Oh, extremely.
I'm so annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed because right. I was like,
you're going to mess up your job.
Yeah.
I was like, preaching about it.
It was such an unnecessary, like, fake spoiler, like, where we think that, like, Simon's going to get mad and then Rakesh is going to get fired.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, okay, cool.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Like, what is this? Yeah. Like, even when he walks in, like, I just love watching this with you guys, especially, like, when Jamie's like, sketchy, like, why are you just, like, giving me these facial expressions where she's like, what is Simon doing? Like, ew, like, stop.
Something throws me off about him. So I love the way Rakesh was able to do his thing, even though he came busting in. All of this secrecy stresses me out with Simon Hayes. It's like, what are you really up to?
Yeah.
And then that whole story he preached about he's changing the world and fulfilling a dream that Henry Chase couldn't and blah, blah, blah. Again, just like Tony kind of, I don't think when you're friends with somebody, even if you were on the same team ever at one point, I just don't think you'd be throwing people under the bus like that. Like, you're trying to convince me that somebody who's not here to defend themselves, that is brilliant and used to be on your team, is here, is upset with you because you're now doing what they couldn't do, blah, blah, blah. That's shady. That's why I don't trust Simon.
It seems like he stole his idea and decided to make it his own. If that's what it felt like.
Shady boots. And then now you're trying to lock him out and kick him. So I don't know what is going on. Maybe in predictions we can dive into how we think that might unfold.
You save that for later.
Yeah.
What I liked the most was how they were trying to say that there's an undeniable link between Miles and Simon Hayes, mm-hmm. and that they need to figure out what that link is. And, like, when we think about the concept of this show, it's how people that you would never assume are connected to each other are connected to each other. Just like how that taxi driver from, like, episode one that hit Kara was connected to them later on when he was the same guy who was the Palestinian father who was Muslim who didn't want his daughter marrying the Jewish man.
So after he got hit by the doctor that he didn't commit suicide because, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's literally how life is, where, like, random people are just connected to you, or you run into someone and you're just like, what are you doing here? And, oh, you know this person? I know that person. And somehow someone has helped you get to where you are today, and you don't even know who that person is. Mm. Whether it's, like, the people who got women the vote back in the day in the U.S., or whoever it is that had our backs and shaped history in a way that, wow, we are grateful to these people that we don't even know helped us.
Mm. Right.
That's good stuff, girl.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I love it. And I guess we just got some more digging to do when it comes to that. There was something you said about, so I'm wondering, I was thinking that too, when Rakesh said, now all we have to do is find out the connection between Hayes and Miles, my head just started spinning, like, is it something related to the accident, the mom, the church, you know?
Mom, I never thought about that.
Yeah, like, you know, did they try to find the most unsuspecting person? Were they listening to the podcast? You know, I just... My mind goes when because I don't know how Hayes and Miles could be connected.
I think it's just too much for the mind.
And then not only that, but We don't know what this secret project is yet.
We're assuming it's the God account.
But we don't know.
Yeah, it might be something else.
Yeah, just saying.
I feel like it's going to be one of those things where they discover what he's up to and then it's not even the God account.
And they're and back to like, square
we
one.
We still don't know who runs the God account, but we know all of this now.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Well, that would make for an awesome season two. Yes. So before we get into our special segment, we've got to run by this. Look at Allie and Miles standing up for Daddy.
That was cute.
That was really good because Allie walked into that church like she was ready to throw something down.
Okay, and it wasn't a Bible.
No, okay. And I have to admit, I'd have been the same way. So Miles sees the diocese, Lester and Carver out for dinner, thinks nothing of it. Allie puts two and two together, puts Rakesh on it. We find out that it's time for Finer to move on. But in a different way. That unfolded differently than I thought. What did you guys think about that?
It was awesome to see that he got nominated for Bishop of New York. That's huge. That's phenomenal. And it's an upgrade. Instead of thinking that he was just going to go ahead and just retire, that's pretty dope. So I'm super excited for him to move on and see that his journey is not over. Because at first I was like, wow, like, you know, that's the way life goes. Somebody replace you, now you retire and you just die. Yeah, die. But it's cool to see that he's upgraded to bigger and better while this new young cat is getting his blessing.
Here.
That's what I was thinking, and it kind of made me sad. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But it was pretty awesome to see that someone younger who's ready to take that mission, and now he is ready to take something bigger and better. So it was a great, 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 great plot twist.
Yeah, that was so good.
I felt like I was gonna cry, but like, can we just talk about his like replacement and how he seems so shady the entire time?
he was like
resting Beezy face, where he was just like, he looked so angry and guilty the whole time. I'm like, what is this? This is like terrible. Right
but
now.
I think too, he knew it wasn't his place to say anything.
Yeah,
and they really did
look suspicious. Come on.
Well, I know he didn't want to let the cat out of the bag because what was beautiful about this whole scenario is that they were extremely intentional and they took steps. So bringing the cat out of the bag too early would have been, you know, a bust on his point. So he probably was like, oh my God, I don't want to be the one that was probably that phase.
That was such an emotional moment though.
It was
just
great.
Like,
Yeah. I love that. Well, speaking of great moments, we love that show. That was everything. We're going to jump into our special segment now.
Yes.
God Speaks. So this is the portion of the show where God speaks to us through social media, because we always read things that speak to our intuition. It feels like it's coming right from the Lord himself, the way it hits us. And I'll start. Jay Everett, he's a friend of mine. And this makes perfect sense because Miles was actually talking about new beginnings not being easy and what you have to sacrifice and leave behind. So this stood out to me. When you are tempted to react in the same old way, ask yourself if you want to be a prisoner of the past or a pioneer of the future. By Deepak. Yeah. I'm in that space right now. When we're growing and transitioning and evolving, we really do have to ask ourselves, like, okay, I would normally respond like this, but you know what? That's old and it's not really working. And I do want new things to happen and go on. And so, yeah, be a pioneer of the future. And it can be scary at times. New beginnings aren't easy, because you have to sacrifice some things and leave things behind. That includes the way you respond to things. So thank you for that quote.
Yes.
What about you?
For me, wow. So Joe Morton.
Yes.
Can I just say he is perfectly cast for this role? Because if you go on Twitter and you read his tweets, which he always tweets every single episode, not just one, but like a million gems per episode, you will just be like, oh my God, okay, he's the best ever. But he wrote, and this is so poetic, "The winds of love can blow hot as the sun, cold as the Arctic sea, can begin and end seamlessly from seemingly nowhere and everywhere. The winds of love permeate the windows of time." Hashtag the finer gospel.
Love it.
Isn't that amazing?
That's great.
I love the part, "the winds of love permeate the windows of time," because it kind of talks about, that was my question, like, can it? Joe Morton thinks it can. Like, there's no time window. If you're in love, if the love is there, time is just like, the window doesn't exist.
That's awesome, because, you know, he is older than us, so maybe, you know, age doesn't define wisdom. We all know that. But it's pretty cool that he definitely has more experience than us, so that gives us a little bit of hope.
Yeah, yes. I love it.
Well, I was on Twitter and I ran across this guy named Joel Morden, and
yes,
on fire with me, right? He's the best. So one that I got from him is expectation is the root of all heartache. The higher the expectation, the greater the heartache. Ooh. And I thought that was pretty awesome for the fact that just putting me in a different mindset of not expecting anything from anyone. Oh, just because you're a friend of mine, or oh, because you're my man, or oh, because you're my mommy. Like, everybody's everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything is everything. And when I don't expect, if you do good, amazing. If you do bad, I wasn't expecting nothing else. That's how I'm starting 2019.
Yeah.
Girl.
So, just set your bar right here.
Set your bar right here.
Or have no bar.
Ain't no bar.
Move your bar.
Bars. Bars. Bars.
No bars.
Bars.
No bars.
I like whatever.
Pun master. That's what, you know, those for bars, right?
I was like, what?
Went over my head.
But using your quote to, you know, for Kara and Miles, no expectations, right?
Yeah.
Why did our date go like this? It didn't go like that. It didn't. Now they just need to go with the flow. Just and they got their opportunity to be all datey when somebody else jumped in and made them kiss.
Hello.
So, before we get out of here, we definitely want to just give some quick found shout outs because we love you guys on Twitter. So, Positively Maik, family first always. That's why we have kids, so they can pull us into the future.
Wow.
That was a quote from Godfriended Me and the Godfriended Me writers. This is love, respect, and ultimate sacrifice with good tears.
Yes.
Hashtag Godfriended Me. And G rated, on one side of the show, a dad is protecting his daughter, and on the other side, a daughter is protecting her dad. Y'all see that, right? We sure did, G-rated.
That's cute.
Allie was going in for Mr. Finer, but, you know, Sunny was going in for Sophia. So
that was
we
nice.
Love seeing protection on all sides.
That was my favorite tweet. That was so great.
That was really good. And same thing with, like, you know, your children and everything. So this was such a great episode. Before we wrap it up, do we have any predictions?
No.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Maybe Kara and Miles is just too much expectations, so maybe they'll just give it a rest.
Did you say expectations?
I like that one.
I swear I heard
that. Expectations.
I literally heard that.
I'm
going to write that.
Expectation. I have an expectation of you, sir. Do your thing.
I'm hearing things that I shouldn't be hearing.
God friended me. No, I'm just saying expectations, so maybe they'll cool it on that. That was a lot. Maybe that was just a little teaser for, and now we can continue the season. Bring that back, season two. That's all I got on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have anything. I just feel like I'm so excited to see the relationship between Kara and Miles play out.
She got expectations.
Yeah, she got expectations.
I got a bar. Wait, no bars. No bars.
No
bars. Expectations.
Okay, no bars, no
expectations. Because I shouldn't have expectations, right? Okay, none.
No expectations. Yeah, I definitely want to see. I think, I don't know where Miles and Kara are going to go. I think it's really hard to tell. I don't know if they're going to take it slow or what, because they confused me in this episode already. So I'm confused. Yeah. I do think Rakesh is going to get closer to unfolding something that has to do with who's the God account.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see a plot line that looks more like what we're used to. Mm-hmm. You know, with the father,
please,
son, just the regular Fen request.
It
a little
looks
bit.
Like it's going to be so good. Like, I miss the days where they had it, where it was like, the kid has, not autism, but remember?
Yeah, the one here.
Autism.
I miss that because I felt like those were so powerful and heavy.
Yes.
And I feel like we're going to get back to that.
Yes, we are. So that's what we're looking forward to. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next week. Same time, same place. God befriended all of us. Thank you for watching. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina Wahab. You can follow me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
And I am, last but not least, your last host, Rochelle Pollard. And you guys can find me as well on Instagram and Instagram only. I'm Roach Baby. That is RoachBaybee.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.